That was Enter Shikari on Phoenix FM, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Rao from the band. Rao, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm all well, thank you. I guess the way we have to kick this off, how has the past few months been for you? How's lockdown been for Rao and Enter Shikari?
I mean, like anyone, it's just been a complete upheaval of normal life, really. It's been very strange. We've released an album and not being able to play it, not being able to thank people face to face for their support, not being able to do, like, you know, the meet and greets, the signings. Not only that, I haven't been able to see the rest of the band for, well, which, yeah, we've been off tour for what has been the longest time since the inception of the band in 2003. So it's just very strange. Mm-hmm. Life has become very solitary, which I'm somewhat used to as a, you know, as a producer, as a sort of introvert. That's not to say it hasn't been hard. But yeah, it's we're all sort of trying to come through it. I'm very lucky. I'm pretty certain I had COVID and was asymptomatic. My family, you know, have their health. My loved ones have their health. Like, a few of my friends have really struggled with it. Mm. But yeah, no, I've been very lucky and just been sort of keeping busy, really.
That's good to hear. So album number 6 was released exactly 2 months today. Although it might not be in the same way as normal, how have you found the reaction to it so far?
I can't believe 2 months. I didn't even realise that.
Hang on, 2 months, yeah.
Yeah, God. It's been amazing, you know, considering we had to cancel the whole of April and May, which was supposed to be, you know, effectively a world tour. We were supposed to go to New York, Moscow, all around Europe. We had 2 weeks up and down the UK. So much, you know, busyness to promote the album, basically, and all of that was cancelled. So the album relied predominantly on word of mouth. You know, it became this very old school DIY campaign, and for that to get number 2 in the charts was just incredible. So we're very grateful for the audience that we have, because there's a passion and enthusiasm and dedication there that I don't think we often can't even compute. You know, just the fact that we're able to receive our highest ever chart position when we weren't, you know, every avenue of promotion had been stopped, had halted for us. So yeah, it's been an amazing experience, but as well, it's been sort of bittersweet, because obviously I haven't been able to share it with any of the lads or anything, at least not in person, or as I say, share it with people at shows and share that excitement for the music. So it's been peculiar.
Mm. So you touched on there at number 2, your highest ever chart position. Would you say this is your most successful album? How do you judge the success of your record, if at all?
Oh, I love that question. The philosophy of success is fascinating. I think any measure that's sort of built on fame, you know, how widespread your acknowledgement has been is a dodgy one. Like Rousseau said, fame is but the breath of people. And he was quite disparaging of it, and I always find that quite interesting, because, you know, now when you ask a kid like what they want to be when they grow up, many of them will answer famous instead of an actual, you know, thing. I mean, that's a ridiculous question anyway, because we shouldn't have to set our sights on just one thing, you know, for the rest of our lives. It's a very odd, but that, you know, I digress. I don't know how we judge success anymore. I think for me, this will probably sound cliched and a bit cringe, but I don't care. It's reality. When I speak face to face with someone who's understood the music and it's affected them in some, you know, positive way in their life, has helped them through something or helped them understand something, or they've found community through the music and friendship, that is, for me, that's like, okay, that music was a success. It was a success for that person, and therefore is it a success for me. Obviously, the grand things like getting in the top 10 for a band like us, which is, you know, independent, the music is so far from the middle of the road. It's all over the place. It's not easy to understand. Yeah, to be in the top 10 with that kind of music is incredible. And, you know, I am thankful for that. But it's those smaller, more human moments that I really cherish, I think.
I was going to ask this later, but you touched on it there about how people connect to your music and take something from it. Do you, especially as the frontman, ever feel a pressure? Because a lot of people turn to you to look at you for your thoughts on things that are going on in the world, or, you know, whether that be political. Do you feel a pressure? Like, oh, I've got to say something. I've got to have an opinion on this. I've got to write a song about it.
Absolutely. There's an intense pressure for anyone with a pedestal now to comment on anything that happens in society. And if you don't comment straight away, why haven't you? There must be a motive there. What are you hiding? You know, what allegiances are we not aware of? So there's a big sense of distrust in society, and that's a broader problem, and it's affecting everything. And we kind of touched on it on a couple of points in the album, I guess. The Dreamers Hotel is one of them. It's a weird one, because I never had like a grand desire to be in a band and to have a pedestal. I always describe as this band as a hobby that got out of hand, and that's really what it is. So I think we just try and do what we can with our pedestal, which often, and this is something I'm quite happy to do because it shifts the focus, because as a sort of fairly introverted person, I'm often not massively comfortable with huge amounts of limelight. But having a pedestal means you have the ability to shine the light on voices that aren't going to be heard, on, like, you know, people that don't have the same broadcasting ability that we have. Especially in things like at the moment with Black Lives Matter, like, just amplifying voices that don't have the reach that we have is basically how I see our sort of moral obligation. That's what I see, you know, what we can do with our pedestal.
Going back to the album, sonically, you said before the record came out, it was an album that encapsulates everything about Enshikari, everything you've ever done. Was that something that you set out to do, or did it just organically evolve into that?
It was kind of a conscious decision. Like, usually when we start an album, I don't have any sort of predetermined, you know, the album is going to be this and this and this, like boxes to tick. But this album, there was a few, and I just finished writing my sort of first book, I suppose, which is a collection of essays about our music and the lyrics and the inspiration and meanings of Dear Future Historians. It came out a few years ago, and that was the first time that I'd ever looked back at our journey and looked back at the sort of ground that we've covered musically, artistically, and I found that really inspiring. It was like, actually, let's try and make an album that sort of covers all the areas that we've gone so far, and tries to sort of encapsulate the real essence of what Shikari is and what we have been. That became the sort of one of the main focuses whilst I was writing, was just try and make it cover all those grounds and have be a sort of knowing tip of the hat, you know, a nod to all the eras of the band.
I don't know if you're aware, actually, but Elegy for Extinction got a play on Scala FM, which of course is classic music. Is that something you thought of as well, as you kind of wanted to show your ability as musicians? We can do this as well as you know what people would assume you just do, your hardcore music sort of thing.
I think that it's not something I'm sort of like long or I'm proud to speak about, but like, there's definitely a frustration for me that because we came up through the sort of a hardcore punk scene or alternative scene, whatever you want to call it, post-hardcore, there's this aura around us that we're like a noisy teen angsty band or something, and I actually don't think that's ever been the case. I think there's, you know, even if you go back to the first album, about like 40% of the music on there is not punk rock. Like, it you know, it goes all over the place. There's, you know, songs like Adieu and Johnny Sniper, Today Won't Go Down in History, and, you know, all the kind of instrumentation was already there to show that we were, I think, something more than that. And I think my in particular musical upbringing is incredibly diverse, and I sort of pride myself on making music that is agile. Like, musical agility is like one of the main sort of founding pillars of what Enshikari do. That's just something that we've always tried to achieve, and I think something that we'll always, you know, go forward and try to achieve.
And the design of this record with the colours, it's so bright and so great, and it's probably my favourite design since Flash Fudder Cutter. How did that come about? Is that something you do, or do you have like a team of designers that give you ideas, or is this stuff that you come up with yourselves?
It's a big team, yeah. We sort of all get round the table. Like, our manager's great at the at sort of art direction in general, so has a big part to play. Sort of the concepts usually come from me, because I guess as the songwriter, I often have images, or sort of just, you know, kind of images. I kind of can't think of a better way to say it, in my head about the music. So it's trying to get those out. And then we're now on a new label, So Records, and their art department is brilliant as well. So it was just, yeah, it was kind of a round the table thing. And we wanted to encapsulate one of the ideas on the album, which was we're ignoring ancient knowledge. So the statue, the bust, if you like, is Hippocrates, and he's supposed to represent everything we are sort of grateful from the ancient Greeks for, you know, the birth of philosophy, medicine, science. And the rest of the cover is just this postmodern mess. And it's there as a distraction, basically. Mm. And obviously the statue's mouth has the sensor over it. And it's just picking up on one of the themes of the album, that you know, modern life is so distracting, and we're so kind of turned away from the kind of more the more intrinsic, pivotal, crucial points about the direction that humanity is facing, that they become ignored, I think.
And I'm hesitant to ask, but will all this colour be reflected in the set and your live show? I know it's obviously due for November, fingers crossed. But yeah, when do you get to come about playing, is that all going to be reflected in your set? Because I know you guys put on the best show in terms of lighting and production, so that must have been really fun for you guys to sit down and think about that.
Yeah, we're in the process of it at the moment. It's going to take... I mean, we weren't actually going to be playing any UK festivals this year, because we knew it would take most of the summer to build the show, to build the production. And you know, now it turns out no one's going to be playing any festivals, so we don't feel like we're missing out anymore. But yeah, it's underway. I am pretty pessimistic about the gigs being able to go ahead at the end of the year. I can see it all having to be moved to next year. You know, I'm hoping and praying that's not going to be the case, because, yeah, as I said, this is the longest time I've been off a stage for, well, yeah, since 2003, so it feels very odd. But yeah, we'll see. But whenever we do get to play these shows, the production will be next level, as we try to always make it.
Do you reckon you'll struggle to fall back into that touring and going back on stage, having all this time off, or do you reckon you'll take to it like a duck to water?
You know what will happen? I'll get so excited, I'll probably do something stupid on stage and break my leg in the first show. I'll just be so full of, you know, childlike excitement that, yeah, I'll do something stupid. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Final question. I know we are talking about an album which has literally just come out, but I have to ask, with everything that's going on in the world at the moment, protests, pulling down statues, that surely is the kind of thing that is feeding your creative juices. So are you always thinking and writing when you're seeing these things, or are you just kind of think, no, we've put the album out now, let's forget about that for a while?
Yeah, it's sort of that urge never stops, really, especially when there are such pivotal moments that we're living through. You know, this is history happening right now. But at the moment, all I'm concentrating on is my new book, which will hopefully be out at the end of this year, but that relies on me really knuckling down, because I'm behind.
You've got the time.
That's all I can think about at the moment. I don't have time to write any music, unfortunately, but there's definitely, you know, little sort of lyrical ideas and musical ideas that I'm sort of jotting down when I have them for later on in the year when I have the time.
Raoul, thank you so much for your time. It's really, really appreciated. Just
pleasure.
Before we go, would you like to introduce your latest single for us?
Absolutely. This is Enter Shikari, and this is Satellites.
I wish I was a comet, burning up into the night. I wish I was a comet, but I'm just a satellite. limelight, so we don't hold hands in daylight. I still drag the closet, all my limbs they ache inside. And surely all my family and my friends, my God and my ends, they cannot all be wrong. So I play along. We refrain from touch, we are satellites, da, 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 da. In a cosmic dance amongst the northern lights, da, 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 da. And we orbit fast, but I wish we could collide. I'm sick of concealing, I'm sick of the feeling, I no longer want to hide, cause I think it could be love. Between us, someone bring me down to land and write a prayer to Venus. What is life without affection? We refuse.